Somers to Yonkers, Tarrytown to Portchester.
We've got Westchester covered.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Westchester, New York. Westchester Talk Radio presents the second edition of the Cup of Joe Political Show, highlighting events in your community. My name is Jim Cleefield. I'm your host for the proceedings and my good friend, the Mixmaster, Maddie the K. McCain, our great engineer. We're broadcasting this morning from Misty Cafe, located at 100 North Main Street in Portchester. Fine takeout dining and the Peruvia eating. And we want to let you know we are produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center, Hightower Westchester. Your wealth is managed to a fiduciary standard. White Plains Hospital, exceptional every day. Westchester County Office of Economic Development, Robeson, the house that Service built, and Accorda Therapeutics.
Life, science.
Indeed it is, Matt. Now don't forget, you can download the Westchester Talk Radio app on iTunes through the App Store at Westchester Talk. Like us on Facebook at Westchester Talk Radio, and you can always follow us on Instagram. You can find us there at Shark Creative. Well, good to have you with us, my friends, and we are broadcasting the second edition, as we said, of this Cup of Joe political show. And my guest for today, the distinguished mayor of the Village of Portchester, is Richard Falanca. Richard, good to have you with us here this morning.
Good morning, Jim. Happy to be here.
Well, you have been in government for many, many years. You were a distinguished graduate of Portchester High School back in 1962. Our CEO from Shark Creative, Andrew Castellano, also graduated. He's a fellow Ram as well. Tell us, let's go back to the beginning, before your political career. After you graduated Portchester High School, of course, you served in the military in the 192nd Artillery in the Connecticut National Guard. What was that like for you long before you became mayor?
Well, it was very interesting. It was a pleasure to serve our country. Again, this was in turbulent times with the Vietnam War going on. I had an opportunity to join the Connecticut National Guard, the 192nd Artillery, as you mentioned, and served 6 years. Was activated a couple of times, not for Vietnam, because at that time they had the draft. So we were based in Connecticut, like I said, in Westport, Connecticut, and we were activated twice for disturbances up at Yale University, and that was very interesting. And but again, it was a pleasure to serve the country. We were on call for the 6 years, and you know, we could have got the call any day to go overseas.
We definitely thank you for your service, for everything you've done there. Thank you for your service. But now, after your military career, you went into the private sector for a while. You worked at a couple of places, one place here in Portchester, another in Stanford. What about that transition going from military life back into civilian life? What was that like for you?
Well, you know, being in the National Guard, you did your basic training and you went to school. I was in communications. Coming back, home was, again, we only served like about 8 months in active duty. So I was really home, had to do weekend drills and 2 weeks of summer camp for 6 years. So it was an easy adjustment back into the public life.
And again, as far as working in the private sector, you got into the business world. That was kind of maybe a stepping stone before you entered politics, right?
Yes, I worked in Portchester. I started working in Portchester in the Russell Burton & Ward Bolt & Nut Company, which was one of the largest employers in the Village of Portchester at that time. It was something that many of the residents and worked there. I worked in the office, in the production control office. I worked there for 7 years until they actually closed down and moved to Rock Falls, Illinois. I then moved over to Stamford, Connecticut for a company called Data Products. I again worked in the office there, was in charge of the records department. And they moved to Wallingford, Connecticut, excuse me. And it was quite a drive to make every day. So I did it for about 4 months, and I just couldn't handle the commute on a daily basis. So I decided to leave, and I was taking a little sabbatical for a while, and there was an election, and I was approached by the mayor and board of trustees at that time and asked if I would like to serve as the clerk of the Village of Portchester, which I accepted. And the rest was history.
That's where you cut your start. You kind of cut your teeth, if you will, being that village clerk. That was the first step on the road to becoming mayor, which you are now, right?
Correct, correct. It was a great experience. Everything I did in the village gave me the experience I needed to for the position that I now hold.
What specifically does a village manager do?
Well, he's in charge of the everyday operations of the village, all departments, police, fire, Public Works, Parks Rec. So he runs the everyday operations, and it's a very important job. And a village manager's job, no matter where it is in the state, is a village is a very important job.
Yeah, and so you were there for several years, so you kind of learned a lot from that position, which you felt prepared you to become the mayor of the village of Portchester, which you've been now for these 2 years, right?
Yes, I finished 2 years. I just was reelected about in March. I ran unopposed. I believe this is the first time in the history of the village of Portchester that a mayoral race was uncontested. So I always joke. I say, I don't know if it's because I'm doing a good job or nobody else wants it. But again, it's an honor and a pleasure to serve the village of Portchester and all the residents.
It really is. Well, the village has certainly changed over the many, many years. I've known Portchester for, I guess, more than 30 years. I was working close by here, and it really has changed. It's really been revitalized. Tell us how that's been going on.
Well, as you said, you know, being around a long time, you know, we're sitting in downtown Portchester, and I remember when this was mostly retail, and you couldn't come down Main Street on a Thursday night when I was growing up. It was a bustling downtown area. A lot of shoppers came in from Connecticut and the surrounding communities like Rye and Harrison. And our residents, the stores we had many shoe stores, clothing stores, and that's all changed. Now we have restaurants and some wonderful restaurants, which we're very pleased to have in Portchester. But that was the change from retail and over to the now the restaurant business is in Portchester.
Yeah, in fact, I've seen like the waterfront, they've been doing some revitalization work there as well. Is that still ongoing?
Yes, and I'm very happy to talk about that this morning. You know, we just got a Colony Pizza, which is outstanding if nobody has tried that yet, on our waterfront. The we had a little problem with the bulkhead there. It had a little collapse into the water, and it kind of been ignored for a lot of years. We finally funded it. Between a bond, and we got some grants from the state. And I'm happy to say that this summer we'll be going out for bid and to repair that bulkhead, fix the promenade, and hopefully make that a destination in our downtown area. So I'm very excited about that. The Board of Trustees is very excited about that. And I think we're going to have a showcase down there when everything is finalized.
So when you get that all, it's going to really be the heart of the village, I mean, when it's all
absolutely
said and done.
You know, along with that, we're making other improvements. We're doing some wayfinding signage, which will take you around the village easier, direct you to the parking areas, to the other points of interest in the downtown area. So that'll be done this spring and early summer. So that's going to be a big thing for our community. You know, everybody says about parking, you know, and mm-hmm. which is a big problem, of course. But we have a parking deck behind the movie theater in downtown Portchester that is free parking after 4 o'clock on the second level and Saturdays, Sundays, and holidays. And there's quite a few spaces there, but nobody knows it's there.
Well, you know, they do
so,
now.
And with the wayfinding signage, I'm sure we're going to try to get them there. Because now they just circle and circle Main Street and the marina parking area. Hopefully that the signage helps them, you know, find the parking that they need. Again, there was always concerns about safety and so on and so forth, but we're addressing that. And I'm sure, you know, better lighting, we're planning to do downtown. So I'm sure that in the future, in the next year or two, you'll see the improvements that'll make that a great area to come to.
Well, wherever you go, whatever town or village or city you're in, parking is always the number one concern. It's about convenience, and I'm sure there's also cost involved, and you're trying to alleviate that problem, right?
Yes. You know, again, even in our marina area, which is not our property any longer, it's owned by the developer, the GNS company, who built the area down there. That parking is also free. So the only metered parking is on the main street and on the streets, but the parking lots especially down in the waterfront area right now are free.
That's really good. And again, we're speaking with Mayor Richard Falanca of the Village of Porchester, and you're listening to the Cup of Joe Political Show. This is the second edition, again, as we highlight happenings in your local community, and we're spotlighting Porchester for this month's show. We're broadcasting live from Misty Cafe. Again, you can find that at 100 North Main Street. And Mayor, I also want to mention you received an honor way back in 1996, if I may. He was awarded the New York State Clerk of the Year in 1996 and is also an honorary member of the New York State Association of City and Village Clerks. You got to be really proud of that accomplishment.
I am, very much so. I'm still very involved with that association as an honorary member. When I got involved with the State Association, I learned a lot. Went to all the schools, 30 years to be exact, 30 consecutive training schools, which I have a plaque on my wall in my office saying that I attended these courses. But finding out and seeing how things were run throughout the state was very educational to me. I came back to Westchester, and myself and at that time Lenny Verastro, who was the village clerk, treasurer, and Mamaroneck, we started an association here in Westchester County, the Westchester County Municipal Clerks and Finance Officers Association. I had the honor of serving as its first president, and Lenny followed me. I served for 2 years, and then Lenny followed me as the president after my term was up. So that is, and I'm happy to say that association is alive and well as we speak now.
And you've also attended pretty close to a 30 consecutive state conference of mayors. So you were really heavily involved with that.
Village clerks, and now I'm attending the mayor's conferences as well. Matter of fact, I got one this coming next weekend, and looking forward to going. And there's a lot of issues that we're dealing with in the state, and you know, that's the best place to go to learn.
Yes. What do you actually glean from those conferences? Every time you go there, what do you learn or what do you pick up there?
Well, we talk about a lot of things. One of the big things, you know, we're talking about now, of course, is the upcoming 2020 census, which is going to be very important for Porchester. As you know, Porchester has a large Hispanic population, and we're going to the meetings that I have attended so far, I've been told that 31% of the village residents did not fill out a census report in 2010. That relates to a lot of aid because, of course, all of the aid that's given out, sales tax aid from the county and state, is done on a per capita basis. So that's quite a bit of money that we're losing. We put together here in the village a complete count committee, which will be working very hard with our residents to make sure everybody gets counted. We're not going to hit the target exactly, but I'm hoping to get it closer to what our population they're stating is now. They say we're about 29,400 people, residents. But I can tell you one thing. When you talk to people around the village, they tell you there's 35 and maybe 40,000 people here. We have a lot of people that did not fill out the census. And I'm sure that happens all over. But we want to make sure this year we get a better count, which will help us immensely.
Yeah, so I mean, hearkening back to 2010, so it was a significant undercount, which I'm sure was not very helpful. But as you say, the goal here, the end game for 2020, is to get as close to the accurate count as you possibly can.
We are going to try. And I tell you, we have a great committee that has come forward on a volunteer basis, a complete count committee. We just approved a budget for them this year so they could start advertising and getting the words out. We'll be working in the churches, the schools, the library, setting up stations for people who can come in. You can now do these, fill out your census documents online. So a little training at the library. So we're going to reach out as best we can to reach our population here in Porchester and tell them how important it is to fill out this document. The concerns that we have is that it's still in the courts, but there's a questionnaire on the form right now asking if it's if you are a citizen of the United States.
Very controversial, right?
Yeah, that could be a problem. And you know, again, we have to get people to that can connect with our residents. You know, that they feel comfortable in talking to. And that's the important thing that I've been told in all the classes that I've attended to, that, you know, someone knocking on the door doesn't get the door open. It's somebody that they know and they can sit down across the table with and talk to it and tell them that this is an important document and don't be afraid to fill it out.
Very important. And plus, that population count is also important as far as, like, when it comes to redistricting, just to make sure, like, everybody is properly represented?
Absolutely. That goes along with the census numbers. So, I will be doing a video on this. I have a deputy mayor who's Latino, and I'm asking him to do one. So, I mean, we're going to do everything we can to make our residents feel comfortable to fill out this document and hopefully get us a count that represents our village.
Yeah, well, we certainly got some time, but 2020 will be here before you know it, and then they start it up.
That's why we're starting now.
You're trying to get ahead of the game this time.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good point. How does the mayor and the deputy mayor work together as a team, as a battery, if you will? Like, how as far as, like, communication, or how does that all coordinate?
Well, I appointed Luis Marino as our deputy mayor. Luis is very active in the Hispanic community. Certainly helps me when I have to go and speak to the Latino community. I do not speak Spanish, so that's why I selected Luis. He also fills in for me when I'm ill or away from the village, and that's how we work well together.
You do work very well as a team, and you correspond with all the other agencies in the village.
Yes. You know, right now we got a lot of things going on, and one of the things that we're looking forward to addressing is our new zoning code, which we call a form-based code. I will be reaching out to all our boards and commissions here in the village to sit down and after we look at this code, because the next 3 years are probably going to be the most important years, in my opinion, for the village of Portchester, to set a direction on where we want to see Portchester go. We have a lot of developers here right now looking to build. A lot of new apartments coming. There's a lot of height in some of these buildings. And this is all going to be addressed when we look at our zoning code. We want to do smart development here in Portchester. We're a village. We're not a city. But there's an opportunity for us now to look at some great projects and hopefully bring in some development here, which will help our tax base.
So you're underserved as far as, like, the art side of the equation, as far as the culture in the village, and you're trying to improve upon that, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's tough because every developer that has come here has brought to us a mixed-use project, some commercial and a lot of residential. And, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, how many people can we put in the village of Portchester? So, you know, we have to study this very closely, and the board is very concerned. We're concerned about how it affects the schools, how it affects our traffic. Excuse me. So these are things that we're very much concerned. We want to get all the boards and commissions on board, whether it's zoning, planning, architectural board, traffic commission. You know, we all have to be, this is a team effort. This is not seven guys elected. This is the volunteers that serve on our boards and commissions. We have to set a vision for Portchester. Some of these developments may change the character of Portchester. So, you know, we want to make sure we do it right. And hopefully we will get that job done. We will do the right thing, which will make Portchester a better place.
And there's always concerns. I mean, environmental impacts, parking, property values. I mean, that goes without saying.
Right. And the only thing over my last 2 years and that's really something that concerns me is right now is the development of the abandoned United Hospital property. It's a tough piece of tough parcel, 15 acres, that needs to be developed. It has an old hospital on it that needs to be taken down. It's unsafe. We've been working with the present owner of the property as well as someone who's possibly going to purchase it. So we're very hopeful. But it's a frustrating process. It has been. I thought we would, when I first got elected 2 years ago, we would move a little quicker on that and get something done, get that building down. Unfortunately, it's taking a lot of time. And, you know, the village residents think that, hey, you know, what's going on? We're not doing anything. Believe me, we have meetings after meetings on it. The board is concerned. We're all concerned. And, hopefully, in this next year or two, at least we'll find out that that property is sold. We'll have a developer that we're working with, and we can get some of these concerns out of the way and get a shovel in the ground.
Well, let's face it, it's never a straight line with any development project. I mean, you're going to have some hurdles along the way. It just goes with the territory, right?
Absolutely. You know, it's again, you know, the environmental impacts, and that's a tough site. You don't forget, it's a hospital. You know, it's got the hospital had a lot of asbestos. It had a power plant right on the property, and it's in a very expensive demolition project. So, you know, I don't get involved with the sale of that property by the present owner to whoever they're dealing with. So, but I'm sure they're negotiating, and hopefully they can come to an agreement, and we can have a developer come forward that we can deal with.
So you're looking at this like long-term down the road here or short-term?
Well, I hope it was like yesterday. So, you know, the sooner the better, because we need to develop that property and get it back on the tax rolls. They are paying taxes on it now, because, of course, before the hospital wasn't paying taxes, but they are paying taxes. But they'll pay more taxes when we get some development on.
Yeah, so, but that's something you really have are keeping a close eye on to make sure that that really gets done as soon as possible.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's a lot of history there, but as you said, it is an abandoned property, and you want to see that develop that into something else that people can be proud of.
And we're working very hard on it. The Board of Trustees is very concerned, and our staff is very concerned. So, again, hopefully we have there's light at the end of the tunnel. And we'll be able to address that, and whether it's the coming months or the year.
Yeah, so it does take time, though. I mean, you can't rush something like this.
Yeah. Oh, no. We want to do it again. Any development that we do here in Fort Chester has to be done right.
Exactly. Right the first time, you try to shoot for that.
Exactly.
Again, we're speaking with Port Chester Mayor Richard Falanca. And again, if you just tuned in, again, this is the Cup of Joe Political Show, our second edition here. And again, what we do here each and every month is we spotlight a local community. We talk about happenings, events, and really anything that is significant to that particular location. And today, as I said, we're in Port Chester. And Mr. Mayor, what else is going on you'd like to share before we take a short break?
Well, while we're sitting downtown, I just want to say hopefully spring, early summer, as I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of restaurants here. And we have parking here downtown, but the meters, you have to feed the meters till 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. We are coming up on an app, pay-by-phone app, so which will hopefully help the people who are dining in the village. They don't have to run out and get concerns about the meter. Then they can, if their time's up, they can take care of with this pay-by-phone app. So hopefully that gets instituted. Staff tells me early summer.
Yeah, I have to admit, it's hard to kind of enjoy an evening out when you have that kind of problem, but that's certainly something you're rectifying. Mayor, we're going to take a short break, and we'll talk a lot more about what's going on in the village with you. And again, this is the Cup of Joe Political Show. My name is Jim Cleefield, and just a reminder, this is Westchester Talk Radio, produced by Shark Creative. We'll be back with more of the show right after this word of interest. Stay with us.
At Indian Point, we've helped power Westchester and New York City for about 4 decades. Recently, as part of an agreement with New York State, we are working toward an early and orderly shutdown of the facility by 2021. Until then, we'll continue safely generating about 25% of the reliable, round-the-clock electricity that powers the city and Westchester, all with virtually no greenhouse gas emissions. Safety is, as it always has been, the top priority for everyone at the plant. We will continue to keep Indian Point fully staffed, and full-time inspectors from the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission will monitor our daily operations. We'll also continue to play an important role in our community as a taxpayer and active participant in local charities. Indian Point Energy Center is still working for you, and it's our honor to continue to serve the people of New York. If you have questions about our ongoing operations, please visit safesecurevital.com.
News, trends, and more.
No one knows Westchester County better than we do.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
And welcome back, everybody. This is Westchester Talk Radio. We're broadcasting live from Misty Cafe here in the village of Port Chester, located at 100 North Main Street. And they are owned by a restaurant that is next door to us. It's Pollo La Brasa Misty Restaurant. It's a Peruvian fare, fine Peruvian dining. And we're here this morning in the village of Port Chester for the second edition of the Cup of Joe Political Show, highlighting events in your local community. And Today, we are spotlighting the Village of Port Chester. My name is Jim Cleefield. I'm your host, and we just want to let you know, first of all, we are produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center, Lapolis Electric, Electrical Contractor, Genesis Exhibits, Trade Show Displays, Breezemont Day Camp, a day camp wrapped up in a sleepaway facility in Armagh, Facelifts Remodeling, featuring Vine Paints of Europe, and the White Plains YMCA.
Healthy living, youth development, and social responsibility.
Indeed it is, Matt. Now, again, don't forget, please download the Westchester Talk Radio app on iTunes through the App Store at Westchester Talk. You can like us on Facebook at Westchester Talk Radio, and please follow us on Instagram. You'll find us there at Shark Creative. I'll be just joined us again. My guest is Village Mayor Richard Falenka, and just to refresh things for a little bit here, we're talking about some of the happenings here. We got into the history of his being mayor and preceding that, his distinguished military service. Again, thank you for your service, Mayor. And also talking about some developments that are going on here in the village. It's really changed in the last 30 years since I've known it. I've known the village, I guess, back to the late 80s when I worked in Greenwich, not too far from here at Bordertown. But, Mayor, let's get into something that's being debated right now at the state level that could have an impact on the quality of life here in the village. The state marijuana laws. It's being talked about right now. Nothing has been adopted. Nothing's been passed. They're still debating it. But it's something that is of a concern to you and residents here. Why is that the case?
Well, again, yes, as you said, it's not adopted yet, but it's my understanding and hearing from the New York State Conference of Mayors that this is possibly something that will be taken up by the legislature and the governor in the summer months in June. The concern here in Port Chester is, and we have a lot of concerns already from the school and, of course, from the residents about this proposed law. A lot of questions. We've attended a couple of seminars already, myself, the village manager, our code enforcement, our village attorney, our police department, listening on, you know, how this was going to affect all the communities, especially a community like Port Chester. My concern is that we are a border community to the to Connecticut. If we adopt the law first before Connecticut adopts a law, if they intend to do so, I don't know. You know what that would mean to Port Chester. I remember in the early days when the bars closed at 1 o'clock in Connecticut, they would rush over to Port Chester and drink till 4 o'clock in the morning, and we had problems. There's nothing there, if it's legal here in New York, and they set up some stores or retail stores here, however this is going to be dispensed in Port Chester, I think it's going to cause us a problem. They will be coming here to look for the marijuana and purchase it. So it's concerning our board. It's concerning our police department. The Westchester County Police Association, Chiefs Association, I should say, Westchester County Police Chiefs Association, has written letters against it. I don't know. I know the state's against it, the state police associations, but you know, where that goes at the end, I don't know. You know, I don't know how Albany thinks and what they, you know, and how they're going to handle it. But there's a lot of opposition. But for a community like Port Chester, I'm very concerned. We did have a couple of, it wasn't marijuana, but they say, you know, this drug here can lead to an addiction or opioids or something like that. And we did have some deaths in our community, young residents who did OD here on the opioids. Very much concerns us here in Port Chester. So I don't know. We got a close eye on it. We're going to watch it very carefully and to find out if it is adopted, how we can deal with it. And that's you know, what we're up against right now.
Well, I mean, it's one thing like for a doctor to legally prescribe marijuana for medicinal purposes, but it's another part for recreational. And this opioid concern, I'm glad you brought that up, Mayor, it's not just a village concern, it's not just a county concern or a state concern, it's a nationwide concern.
Exactly. And you know, after experiencing two or three close friends of mine who lost their children, young children, in their early 20s, to overdoses. You know, I see them every day, and you know, it's hard. It's very hard. So again, we're gonna watch this very carefully. I know our village, our police department, and whatever we can do, we're going to do.
And I'm not sure as far as like the young population, like millennials are moving into Westchester. I mean, how would that be concerning for you as far as an impact if this becomes a law?
Well, again, you know, we got to see how it unfolds. You know, we're right now we're very concerned. We have several residents who are on top of it, and you know, every time there's an article, they shoot it out to the board, and you know, to educate us more. So, like I said, it's under a watchful eye right now, and once it's adopted, we'll see how we have to deal with it. And but I can tell you, I'm sure that we're going to do everything that we can to protect our residents and here in the village of Worcester.
We want to change gears here now. Of course, you talked about revitalization here in the village, which is ongoing, and we've been to a number of events here. I remember it's the Taste of Worcester. I think I went to here a couple of years ago. It's very well attended. They got to do some other events like that down the road that you know of are in the pipeline.
Well, they have that Taste of Worcester every year, and I'm sure they're going to have it again this year. Yeah, we do get you know, several new restaurants to, you know, coming in, and you know, we want people to come into our community and to enjoy our restaurants. You know, Worcester is a welcoming community. You know, and we love when people come here and enjoy what we have to offer. So again, you know, the downtown area is going to be there's going to be a couple of on the corner down from where we're sitting. There'll be 75 units of housing and retail below. There's another restaurant going to be a block from here going in pretty soon. So there's a lot of activity, a lot of activity going on. And you're right. Most of the developers that we're seeing are building for the millennials. And it's because the other thing that's important is Portress's location.
Location, location, location.
You got it. And we're, you know, on 95, 287, Railroad Metro North comes right through our village. You know, 40 minutes, you're into New York City. And so we have a lot to offer. And I think the developers are seeing that, and that's why they're coming to Worcester.
I don't want to get into the real estate area. What about affordable housing? How much has that been talked about? I've been hearing this for decades in a lot of places. What about that?
We're working on that now. We always hear about that. You know, in any and with any project that comes to Worcester, proposed project, we always hear about the affordable housing portion of it. And we deal with it on an individual basis. So, you know, the board will decide when we get those applications.
And we don't know specifically where they could put that affordable housing. That's a matter of, let's say, land use issues, environmental impacts. We talked about that earlier
show. Right. So, you know, again, the board always looks at it. It comes up, and we deal with it.
As it comes.
As it comes.
Yeah. What other big events would you like to share? Because one of the places that is a great friend of ours and actually is one of our sponsors here at Westchester Talk Radio. That's the wonderful Capitol Theater. It's been around for many, many years. We went there recently for an event with Paws Cross New York. How much has that meant to the village? I mean, it's been quite a beacon, I think, here for this area.
Well, I'll tell you, it's a destination. That's for sure. It's a big asset. You know, I go by there quite often, and you know, I look at the marquees. I just wish I could relate to some of the entertainment that they put up there. I'm an oldies guy.
You are.
So
I am too.
But I can tell you, you can see the sold out, and many of these shows. And when they come, they do frequent our restaurants. So it brings a lot of life into the community. And so far, so good. You know, we're very happy with them. And it's no matter where I go. People come up to me and say, oh, I say, I'm from Worcester. Oh, that's where the Capitol Theater is. I go there. I enjoy the shows there. You know, so it's always, you know, when I mention where I'm from, that's one of the first things that they come back to me with is, oh, that's where the Capitol Theater is. And I've been there and I've seen this show and that show. So it's good to see. And some of the people that I talked to, and I'm surprised that, you know, they would, you know, they come and they tell me what show they saw. And I'd, oh, you really like that type of music or something, you know. Because like I said, when I see a marquee, I have to call my son and say, who's that? What do they sing? And, you know, but and then I have a niece that goes to a lot of the shows. And then she posts on Facebook, you know, she'll tape something. And as a matter of fact, I was just doing that this morning before I came. And there was a show there last night. And I don't even know the name of the group, but it was, I'm sitting there watching it on Facebook, and it was terrific, you know. And then I'm saying to myself, boy, you know, if I knew they were that good, I would have went myself, you know.
I mean, there's such a cross-section of performance from yesterday to today. I mean, they all come to the Capitol Theater. I mean, that's probably the first thing that probably comes to mind when people think of the Village of Horse Hair. As you say, it's the Capitol Theater.
Well, I got to tell you, one of the highlights of my 30 years in government is when the Capitol Theater, not with this owner, but a past owner, came to me and said, we need your help. I says, for what? He says, I got an act coming into the Port Chester, and it's big, and it's going to be satellited all over the world for MTV. And I said, okay. He said, but the contract's not signed yet. I'll come back when I get the contract. About a week later, he comes back to the office. He says, I got the contract signed. I said, who is it? The Rolling Stones.
I wow.
says, you got to be kidding me. So for about a week, I had to work with their entourage and their security. Our police department had to work with the security. But the thing I want to say is I went there because they needed a doctor in the house for Mick Jagger.
They did.
And so I said, okay. And this is like 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they called me. And I said, well, who am I going to get at 4 o'clock? So I called my doctor. And I says, do you like the Rolling Stones? And I hear him yell out to his wife, hello, do you like the Rolling Stones? She, oh, yeah. He says, yeah, we'll come. And I says, well, look, you come, I'll introduce you to whoever, then you make whatever arrangements. So I go back to the theater, and I'm standing there, and it's only me, myself, and a sound engineer. And who comes on stage? The Rolling Stones. And I'm 10 feet from them. So now they're doing a sound check. So now they sang a song. Now they end up singing about 5 or 6 songs. And I just stood there.
You were mesmerized.
I stood there and I just listened to that concert. And I tell you, it was a thrill.
Did you get starstruck seeing that?
Oh, yeah. And then I wasn't a Rolling Stones fan, but
you
I
weren't.
Became one after that.
I can imagine, though.
And then I went to the show that night, and I'll never forget being in the balcony and all the celebrities that came to that show. The governor, of course, was here. George Pataki was governor at that time. Bette Midler was there. Jimmy Connors was there. And it was just to see, and they had a cocktail party in between the balcony and the lower level, MTV did. And it was tremendous. What a night for Port Chester. And after the show, I know the governor was in Mariachi's restaurant, a great restaurant here in Port Chester. Bette Midler was in another restaurant here. So it was very exciting. And it's continued now with this new owner and these new shows that they're bringing here.
Well, I guess in many ways, the Capitol Theater really raises the profile of Port Chester, not just on a local level, but I'm sure all across the country. I mean, I'm sure people have heard about it.
Oh, absolutely. Don't forget, you know, we had some of the biggest stars here in their day appear there. And Janis Joplin, matter of fact, Janis Joplin wrote her last big hit. Right across the street, it's now a law office.
But is that right?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Right across the street, and she. I don't remember the name of the song or anything, but I was told that that's where it was written. I read about it, and that's exciting.
It really is. Speaking of exciting, what other exciting events that we have coming up is the weather starting to warm up. Summer is just around the corner here. That's coming up. You'd like to share with our audience here today?
Yeah, you know, we have our summer concerts every after the 4th of July. We have our summer concerts on Friday evenings throughout July and August up at John Lyon Park. They start at 7 or 7:30, and they bring different groups every week. We just got finished with a great year, our 150th anniversary year. We had some great entertainment throughout the whole year. We just finished with last month with the United States Army Jazz Ambassadors appearing at our schools. So it's been an exciting year, and we always try to bring good things into the village. When we get that bulkhead completed here, hopefully there's going to be a little area there we could have some entertainment on the waterfront, bring in some boats, and there's a lot of great ideas out there. We just got to get the construction completed, and you'll see a lot more things happening in downtown Port Chester.
And again, you're listening to the Cup of Joe Political Show. This is the second edition here. We're here in the Village of Port Chester. We're broadcasting live from Misty Cafe here at 100 North Main Street in Port Chester. And again, the premise of the show, for those of you who are new, again, is to highlight happenings in your local community, and we're spotlighting the Village of Port Chester today with distinguished Mayor Richard Falanca. So, we talk about the Capitol Theater as a destination, but also Lyon Park certainly is another one of those, too, right?
Oh, Lyon Park's a lovely park. It's our largest park in the village. Again, you know, baseball fields there. We have a great baseball program, and they have tournaments there every week. So it's a lot of activity. A lot of activity goes on in our village parks. We are proposing to put a skate park in at Recreation Park. So there, that which is new. So we always try to improve on our park system. So makes it more recreational and pleasing for our residents to go.
And would you say, like, a lot of people come to the village as the weather warms up a lot more, let's say, as opposed to the winter months? And what's it like downtown?
Oh, I think it's a little more active in the summer months, absolutely. You know, there's a lot of plans to do a lot of improvements here on Main Street. There's one thing we go in every year for. It's a regional economic development grant. We were in the running the last 2 years, and what they do is there's 10 regions or 11 regions, and it's out of the governor and out of the governor's budget, and they give $10 million for community development to a community. Last year we were in the running. The last two years we were in the running. New Rochelle received it last year. We're in there every year, looking to receive that type of a grant, which can help us with some of the plans that we got proposed for the downtown area. So we're in there every year pitching. Hopefully 1 year we're going to hit the target on that one. But we're close. And we got a plan that could be shovel ready. So hopefully one of these years we're going to be successful in receiving those monies.
Now, is this something that you work with the state on, something like this regional grant?
Yeah, Regional Economic Development Commission. Our planning department, which is terrific, works very closely with that department. And matter of fact, the applications are ready to go out again for this new funding cycle. So we'll see. Hopefully, we get something. We've been successful. If we didn't get the $10 million, we got 2.3 or 2.2 million for the bulkhead repair. So, just going up there and putting in these applications has helped us, and it takes the burden off of the taxpayers when we get these types of grants.
I was saying, because the state always has their budget challenges. I guess they pass their budget pretty much on time. But yeah. How does that kind of trickle down to, let's say, a village like Portchester? How do you deal with that?
Well, again, with regard to budgets, we're right now in our budget process. We have to adopt our budget by May 1st, which is next week. It takes effect. Our fiscal year is June 1 to May 31st. So, again, any help that we can get from the state is gratefully accepted. When we started the budget process, the AIM funding, which is like state aid, was taken out by the governor in his budget, and it was just restored. So that helped us as we're now in our budget deliberations to take the rate down. These types of now also the county is proposing a 1% increase in the sales tax, but very much in favor of that. I know the county needs the money, and most of the municipalities in Westchester are on board with that because that's another additional revenue that could help both towns, villages, and schools. The other thing that was adopted in the governor's budget, which could help this year, is the internet tax. So we'll see where that goes. So we have to see how that all plays out. So we haven't plugged it into the budget, but we're certainly, hopefully, going to receive some revenues in this fiscal year that will be helpful to us going forward. And so those are big things that we're dealing with now, and hopefully we will have a fiscally responsible budget adopted by May 1st.
Well, I mean, for many, many years, I mean, you would shop online on the internet, but there were no taxes. I'm sure that had to be very painful as far as the small business owner because they're trying to compete with them. Is that what this is all about?
Yeah, and this is something that the legislature has put together and has adopted, and hopefully, and the governor signed and put into his budget, so hopefully it goes forward.
Okay. We'll have to see. So that's kind of like a pending situation here, but you're watching that very, very closely, and if it does get adopted, I guess you'll just have to deal with it, right?
If it gets adopted, it's revenue, unanticipated revenue that we will be receiving this year, and hopefully once we get the trend on how this is going to go forward, we'll be able to include it in future budgets as more revenues.
So it's something you can really draw on. So that would actually be a benefit to the village if it goes through.
Absolutely.
Yeah, whatever it might be. So as far as like for the small business owner, that'd be kind of a win-win too, because that way, okay, they're not losing any potential revenue on that also?
Well, I don't know how it's going to affect that, but I can tell you one thing. Any revenues that come through that internet tax to our community would be greatly appreciated.
And once again, you're listening to the Cup of Joe Political Show. This is the second edition. My name is Jim Cleefield. I'm your host. We're really having a fine conversation this morning with the Honorable Mayor here, Richard Falanca, the Village of Portchester. He is about to end his first term and will shortly be starting his second term. We're talking about all kinds of good things.
Well, I started the second term.
You did.
Yes, in April, first week in April. So we're off and running.
You're off and running. Yes, you're all looking ahead. We got just a couple of minutes remaining here, Mayor. So looking forward now, what do you see in the months ahead coming up for the Village that you want to share?
Well, as I said earlier, this is a very exciting time for Portchester. I always say when I make a presentation up in the, whether we're going for a grant or talking to other state and officials as well as county officials, this is Portchester's time. You know, we have the opportunity to move Portchester. The developers know that. They're here. They're trying to work with us. And I'm very excited. And I have some of these projects that we've been looking at come to fruition. I believe that we'll be moving Portchester forward in the right direction for the future.
And it sounds like you have a great deal to look forward to. And we certainly look to find more wonderful events coming your way. Andrew has a question for you. A little bit.
Yeah, you know what? Not so much a question. I'd be remiss if I didn't pop in on this this wonderful podcast this morning. Fritz, I just wanted to thank you for your time today. Obviously, as I mentioned to you before, it's like if you were to look up the definition of Portchester, I know we'd see your face there. So thank you so much for all of the hard work and all the passion and the effort that you've put in. I know I've recognized it. I know a lot of people recognize it. Sometimes it goes unsaid, but it's people like you that really make a huge difference in all the things that take place. So, you know, and here you are. You're still going, and you're keeping at it. I'm really grateful, even though I don't live in Portchester any longer. My heart will always be here, and you know, it's guys like you that really make it worth a while. So thank you for all your service, and we appreciate you, you know, educating the community a little bit this morning with the podcast.
We appreciate it. Thank you, Andrew, and thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Andy. And just to finally say, I've known Andy a long time. I watched him grow up. I watched his baseball career. I know he went to Syracuse University. I know his parents. But I can tell you one thing. I just want to congratulate you on your career and what you do here in Westchester. Really appreciate it, Andy.
And we appreciate having you on, Mayor. Thank you so much for joining us. Again, we've been speaking with Mayor Richard Falanca, who is the Village of Mayor of Portchester. And this has been the Cup of Joe Political Show, the second edition. And we just want to let you know, we are produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center, Durante Rentals, the most dependable name in construction equipment rentals, Reverso Associates, serving public and private construction industry for over 30 years, J.P. McHale Pest Management, residential and commercial abatement, Michael Labriel Inc., their last name is the first name in landscape, and Salem Golf Club, a lush panorama of rolling hills and new pool expansion. And don't forget, please download the Westchester Talk Radio app on iTunes through the App Store at Westchester Talk. You can like us on Facebook at Westchester Talk Radio, and please follow us on Instagram, too. We are at Shark Creative. My name is Jim Cleefield. Thanks again to Mixmaster Maddie the K, Matt Kander, great engineer, and Andrew Castellano of Shark Media, Shark Creative. Thank you as well. And to you at home, we hope you enjoyed this very informative, enjoyable conversation. We'll see you next month. Take care, everybody.
Thank you, listener. Yes, Shark Creative is the company you think of for on-hold messages. If you want to hear how it helps, you can call Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle, Durante Rentals, Michael Labriola Inc., Oak Ridge Staffing, Emma's Ale House, Northeast Environmental, or just go to sharkcreative.com and listen there. Meanwhile, we've expanded our services as your all-audio resource. On-hold messages, of course, production and placement of radio campaigns on the Pete and others too. And now we also have our very own internet radio station, Westchester Talk Radio. Look for us on Facebook at Westchester Talk. Have us come out to your next event, help you capture audio from your sponsors, associates, friends. Bite into that first impression with Shark Creative. Everything audio. It just sounds better. Shark.